The second gene key. The transformational path of the second gene key moves from dislocation to unity, and it's the path of orientation. In the original I Ching, going back way into the halls of antiquity, a great injustice occurred at a certain point. And it's part of the primal human wounding. We were gifted great and marvellous treasures. We were gifted secret knowledge, pure transmissions, coming direct from the source. And almost as soon as we left the Garden of Eden, our unfallen state as a single, undivided consciousness, the treasures began arriving, such as the compassionate nature of our universe, that no consciousness is allowed to forget itself for too long. Thus, humanity has always received its echoes, the echoes of truth, that is the truth of our true nature. And the I Ching is one of these ancient transmissions. It's a sacred knowledge. But of course, like all of them, or many of them, it's been tampered with down the eons. Its pages are weathered, parched. And here, at the beginning of the I Ching, in its first and second hexagrams, lies the greatest lie of all. And the lie is that it doesn't begin with number one. Because number one is the masculine, the yang. And all things emerge from the female, that's a truth, and return to the female. So this second gene key, which is the essence of the female, the primal female, this is really where everything begins. It's the ultimate yin. And this is why it's called the receptive. And this is also why its shadow is dislocation. That's the word, dislocation. Because it's been dislocated by human consciousness. It's in the wrong place. It's been put in second place. It's been superseded by the masculine, by evolution. You see, the feminine is being and the masculine is becoming. And you have to understand as well that there's nothing wrong here. No one need be concerned. It's a perfect mistake. Evolution, you see, has an agenda. Evolution is an agenda. So everything about the dilemma of this second shadow of dislocation is about agenda. It's all about having an agenda. That's its dilemma. It's our perception that dislocates us from the truth. We can't actually leave the truth even if we tried to, because we are the truth every step of the way. It's not possible for a human being to make a mistake. And yet, at the shadow frequency, we believe that mistakes exist. We believe somehow that we know better than life. We believe that we're in control. And we take the whole world on our shoulders. In fact, we are a part of life. And life is growing through us. Life is dreaming through us. Life is us. And yet still we feel separate. And it's not our fault. We're in a phase of our evolution in which perception is limited by our biology. And our biology is limited by our perception. And every one of us has this gene key in our DNA. We contain them all. And its programming partner is the first gene key with its shadow of entropy. And this is the configuration that makes us feel so lost. It's this second shadow that implants this yearning inside us for home. And our home is our unity. And yet every story we live, every myth, every movie, every novel, every soap opera, every drama in our lives, its fundamental theme is the longing for happiness, the longing to go home. We're lost children and we're just yearning for our mummy. I hope you can see that. You know, our sadness is so deep inside us because everywhere in the outer world, we're desperately seeking this unity, this home, and yet it always, always eludes us. This hollow ache, it's inside every human being until they've faced into it, until they've been transformed. So the second shadow and its agendas, it's the shadow of our busyness. It drives us out into the world, into busyness. We've forgotten, really, how to receive. We've forgotten how to simply be. We've forgotten how to trust. Because we are home. Home is inside each one of us. It lies at a higher frequency and it can only be discovered through love. That's why we seek love. And this second gene key is part of the codon ring called the codon ring of water. And there's so much sadness in water, in the symbol of water. So it's here we find the great sadness of our civilization. Because there is no civilization, really, unless the feminine is honored above all. And I don't mean women. I don't mean women. I mean the feminine in us all. The home inside us. The sense of unity. Because when that's lost, we're lost. Our world is lost. Today, we're lost. And this world that we've created, it's going to have to decay and crumble. And how sad that makes us feel, because we know. And we failed. A part of us feels like we failed. We failed because we didn't place love above all else. And yet what a wonderful truth to come to. So agenda is all about gender. You know, all these words contain jokes. So with the second shadow, you think you're important. You think you have to help the world. You think there's something you can do to help. And all agendas emerge, really, from distrust in life. And that doesn't mean that you don't act to help, but that when you help as a response from your love. You don't help because you feel lost and you need something to fill the void. That's how most people help. When you look deeply, that's actually why most of us are helping. And it's so rare to find a truly loving heart in this life, a truly overflowing heart, a heart that doesn't want to help you, a heart that actually doesn't have an agenda, because in fact the heart has no agenda. Only the mind and the emotions have agendas. We're so cursed by evolution. It's true. It's our curse. Because our true being does not evolve. It cannot evolve. The yin, the feminine, the void, it cannot evolve. Only the yang carries that agenda. So each of us has to face this deep fear of the void inside us. There is no other way to get back home. The second gift, orientation. In the Tao Te Ching, simple words lay out this journey of transformation through the second gene key. How do we find our way in life? How do we know what to do in life? How do we know what's right for us? Now, these very questions are so revealing because they presuppose that we've totally lost our way. Because the rest of nature doesn't ask these questions, only us, only humans. And the answers are always the same. But they're always going to sound nebulous and kind of watery. If you read in the Tao Te Ching, be like water. This is the kind of advice you get. Follow the water, seek the low, act by not doing. The Taoists, they call this Wu Wei, the art of not doing, or the watercourse way. And so as you become more and more aware of the shadow frequencies, gradually you begin to orient yourself in the world, in your body. When you feel lost, surrender to the feeling. Allow it to soak into you, to the bone. When you feel sad, dislocated, angry, hopeless, afraid, excited, joyous, blissful, enthusiastic, allow the feeling, whatever it is, to become utterly infused into your DNA. Receive it. Receive whatever comes your way. Receive and trust whatever comes your way. Trust everything. That's the message of the second gift. Give yourself to it. Listen to it. Let it in. The second gift is the gift of orientation. It means you begin to open your heart up to life. You begin to allow life to resonate inside you at a higher frequency. You begin to love it. You let it crush you. You let it drown you. You let the water in. You let life in. And slowly, slowly, you begin to relax. Trust. Trust is the byproduct of a whole host of chemicals that your DNA releases into your chemistry as you evolve. You see, the agenda of the shadow is not wrong, because it drives you into your suffering, eventually. And every human being one day reaches a stage in which they get so tired of looking outside for home, they get so disappointed by the outer world, that finally they begin to turn inwards and seek the true source of their suffering. We have to follow the river back towards its source. And as we do, we go through a transformation. We go through a healing. Nature returns our energies to us. We open to receive the currents of life and of love once again. And it also works the other way around. Our acceptance of the present moment, of the way we think and feel, sends a signal into our DNA, which then releases chemicals and hormones, which make us feel better. So the more we surrender to everything, to every moment as perfect, the more oriented we become. And the more we drop our agendas, our trying, our incessant concerns about our lives and others and those around us. And the more we radiate the presence inside us. And then the magic occurs. Our aura, our vibration, it animates our environment. It opens up the currents of the quantum field. It catalyzes transformation. And we become a force of orientation for all life forms. And by doing nothing, we become a field of transformational forces. This gift of orientation, it's so profound that it actually creates a torus energy around us, a centripetal force. And that's what our trust does. We trust the suffering of another. We open our hearts to them without agenda, and they receive our trust at a cellular level. Energetically, what we're doing is we're letting others know that fear is safe. Fear is safe. That's the key sentence to this gift. Let it sink in deeply. Fear is safe. So this is your gift, and this is all your genius. To bring others out of the shadows and to begin to turn them inwards towards the source inside them. And to orient another person correctly in this way, and I mean truly correctly, it's not to give them advice. Advice you can get anywhere nowadays. You always have been able to get advice from just about anyone. But it's not about that. To orient someone is to love them unconditionally. It's to be with them. It's to be yourself with them. It's to let them see your weakness as well as your strength. It's to be empty like water and yet to be full. It's to be intuitive. It's to trust. It's to soften, to yield, to flow. People don't need help. People need love. They need to be reminded of what it feels like to be in the presence of love. It's as simple as that. No agendas, just love. The second city, unity. I really like that last sentence. No agendas, just love. Could build a whole religion around that. Luckily, we won't. So, the second city. When you're home, you know you're home. Inside you, all seeking has come to an end. You've remembered. Life is for living. Life is for love. Love is life. All life has an innate urge to complete a story. This is evolution. This is the outer journey. It's the odyssey. We all eventually return home to our mythical Ithaca, to Eden, to the Isle of Avalon. It's a state, it's a frequency band within our DNA that allows us to experience it. But it isn't the state, because when we die, the state ends, but not the consciousness that the state allows you to access. So the consciousness, it's so light, it's so delicate, it's so feminine. It's the subtlest breeze, it's indescribable. It's why the poets always look to the clouds, the trees, the leaves, the midnight fires, the sweeping swallows. One of my favourites is Rainer Maria Rilke, and he asks, if the endlessly dead could awaken a symbol in us, perhaps they would point to the catkins hanging from the empty hazel trees. You see, it's always something ephemeral but lasting, that we point towards when we need to understand unity. The trees appear to die every year, but then there they are again the following year, and those catkins have dropped their seeds to ensure that there'll always be new trees. Such a mystery. But unity will not yield to understanding. It's our unbending essence. It's leafless. It's everlasting. It's unfeasibly beautiful. It's our home. All our metaphors lead here to this experience of awakening, enlightenment, or realization. In fact, it's really normalcy. It's our ordinariness. But inside it, it contains everythingness. This second city, it's the city of unity. It's the city of oneness. It's our original innocence. It underlies every single gene key. All life leads here. In human beings, it leads us beyond our perception, beyond our senses, into the vibrations within ourselves, within our DNA. Because enlightenment, unity, is a physical phenomenon. It's not something outside the body. It requires the body. It celebrates the body. It completes the body. So when you look at these two first gene keys, these programming partners, the one and the two, the prime yin and the prime yang, you're looking at spirit and form, energy and matter. And yet they're so inside each other that you can't tell which is which. In the Indian tradition of Advaita Vedanta, this is why they don't refer to it as oneness. They refer to it as not two, not two-ness. There aren't two things anymore. So there's no separation. Everything is entangled with everything else. Everything is locked in a dance with itself. See, it's so easy, really, to get metaphysical here. But the second city is so far from philosophy. It's the divine feminine. And the divine feminine is a mystery. It contains the masculine. So in that sense, you can no longer call it feminine. Anyway, let's end on a practical note, since we're talking about the divine feminine. You may be wondering, what does all this mean for me at home in my life? Yeah, that's about as practical as I can get. Well, it means, in a nutshell, you cannot make a mistake. That's the key. Let that truth penetrate deeply into the cells of your body. You cannot make a mistake. Every gene key is saying this. They're so generous. It's inviting us to receive the universe through our daily lives. It's inviting us to trust, to remember the feeling of trust. You don't need to add anything to your life. You don't need to learn anything to get this. There's nothing to get. The answer is so simple, it's too simple for words. You have to learn to forgive yourself, to realize that you don't need to try. Life is always delivering you exactly what you need. Every experience is perfect. Every experience is so suffused with grace when you're able to hear it completely. Transformation is life. But to be transformed is to be completely relaxed, like water. It's to trust in the timing of everything. It's even to trust in fear. This is what these transformational keys show us. Trust the shadow, it contains a gift. Trust everything and go on trusting everything. Trust everyone. Trust your disappointments. Trust your sexuality. Trust your longing. Trust your boredom. Trust your sadness. Trust corruption. Trust conspiracy. Trust the world. Trust the whole shebang. And know that you can never be lost and you can never be wrong because you are life itself. And the only way to find unity is to dissolve. This is why the symbol is water. You have to allow all your boundaries and all your attachments to just dissolve into life. And your life offers you this every day in every way. You only have to melt into your own life to become one with it. The universe and all its mysteries are hanging in the air before you every day and in every way. All we have to do is melt into the dream that is life. Let your heart flow out into the sea of creation. Just surrender yourself to life. Become soft. Become like water.